Okay, we want to come to Psalm 106. I'm just going to read a few verses at the commencement of this psalm. Psalm 106, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Amen. We'll end there at verse 8. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Could we just stand for prayer? And that will give you maybe an opportunity just to change your position. Our Father, we just commit ourselves to thee. We thank thee for the report that has been given on the various accounts this evening. We acknowledge thy goodness. And Lord, thou hast given to us, and by thy grace thou hast enabled us to give back to thee that which is thine, that which thou hast given us. And we are conscious of that tonight, O Lord. And we thank thee for all of thy goodness to us as a congregation in many ways. And we're thinking tonight about material things and the accounts, and Lord, we do raise our Ebenezer and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped." And we pray thou wilt bless us now as we spend a little time around thy word and then around the throne of grace. Grant thy blessing to us, we ask now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are three psalms that commence with this exhortation to praise the Lord. They come one after the other. If you look back to Psalm 105 and then look forward to Psalm 107, you will find that there are similar words in all of these psalms where the Lord is to be praised and his name is to be honored and thanks is to be given to him. In Psalm 105, you have it there as, "O give thanks unto the Lord." And then Psalm 107 is, "O give thanks unto the Lord" as well. And then in verse 1 of this psalm that we have been reading, well, it comes just after that exhortation, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord." So in these three psalms, you have this exhortation to give thanks unto the Lord. And certainly when we come to an annual meeting, it is an opportunity to do just that, when we acknowledge the Lord's mercies and his faithfulness toward us and provision toward us, and even as has been highlighted, the healthy state of the church accounts, and we're thankful to the Lord for all of his goodness in this regard. The Lord would ever have his people to be a thankful people. It is important that we do give thanks. You will remember the incident when the 10 lepers were healed in Luke chapter 17, and only one of them went back to give thanks. And in Luke chapter 17, verses 17 and 18, it says, the Lord Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And that stranger was a Samaritan. He had been one of the 10 who had been healed. And he was more grateful than others. He was the outsider, the outcast. He was the stranger, as it is stated there in Luke 17, verse 18. And therefore, he had a greater reason to give thanks. He was more grateful than the others because he felt how undeserving he was and how unworthy he was to be blessed in this fashion. He had no claim or right at all. He was not an Israelite. And because he felt that indebtedness, he went back to the Savior and he gave thanks. And the Lord said, "Where are the other 9? And you and I, were outcasts by nature. We were strangers, strangers to grace and to God, strangers to the covenants. But the Lord has mercifully brought us into Christ and made us inheritors in Christ Jesus. And there are many, many blessings that we can give thanks for, not just in temporal things, but specifically in spiritual things, when we think about spiritual blessings. And we'll say a little more about that in a moment or two. If you remember back in our studies in Hezekiah, if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, just to remind you of this, but in the days of Hezekiah, there were those who functioned within the Levitical system of worship, and it was their responsibility to render praise and give thanks unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 2, it says, Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. Now you know the distinction between who were the priests and who were not. It was the house of Aaron that were the priests. The Levites were the helpers in the sanctuary, whether it was the tabernacle or the temple later on. They did not actually do the offering of the sacrifices. That was the work of Aaron and his sons and his sons' sons on down through the generations. And as time went by, the priests became a larger and larger class, because they started off just with Aaron and his, well, he had four sons and two of them were slain, and then his grandchildren and so on. So there was that division as to who functioned as the priests offering the sacrifices and who were the helpers then. But one of the responsibilities of the helpers was to lead the praise. They were to give thanks. And Hezekiah, if you remember back when we were considering his life, we spoke about the Reformation that he undertook and brought about in the land. And here's one of the things that he did. He saw to it that the courses of the priests and the Levites were appointed. The sacrifices were reinstituted because his father had closed up the temple and sacrifices were not being offered. So he saw to it that the sacrifices were reinstated, but he also saw to it that there was the giving of praise and thanks unto the Lord. And does that not underscore to us, Christian, just how important it is to give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done? And whatever our circumstances in life may be at any particular time, are there not always something? Is there not always something that we can give thanks for? Is it not always the case that there are many things we could give thanks for? Let me read a couple of other verses to you. Psalm 33, verse 1, it says, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. That word comely is translated in Song of Solomon as beautiful. When the beloved was speaking about the Shulamite, he said, Thou art beautiful, O my love. And there's another English word for that same word. So when it says praise is comely or praise is beautiful, there's a beauty in the eyes of the Lord when God's people praise him. And praise is an important part of worship. Our singing is an important part of worship. It's an element instituted by the Lord. As we know, we worship the Lord according to his word and not to our own ideas as to what we think worship should consist of. And sadly, there's been a drift away from that over the years and even in evangelical circles, where there's a drifting away and the idea, well, you can introduce whatever you like, a little bit of drama or whatever else you want to bring in to worship. Sure, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there is, because it doesn't have the warrant of the Bible. God tells us how he is worshipped. And we must have those elements within our worship if it's going to be God-honoring worship. And one of those elements is praise. Praise is important. Singing is important. And there is the opportunity when we come together to sing the Lord's praises, and we ought to do it with a thankful heart for all that he has done for us. So it is a comely thing in God's eyes. It's a beautiful thing in God's eyes. Whether you can sing or not, the Lord takes the will for the deed, and we can give thanks unto the Lord. I want you to think a few things. We're not going to spend a long time at this, for we want to have a time of prayer tonight as well. But a few things here I want you to consider in the light of this. First of all, I want you to consider that unthankfulness is a great sin in God's eyes. It's not as if the Lord is ambivalent here. And it doesn't really matter. If his people praise him, well, it's a good thing. And if they don't, well, it doesn't really matter. Because if we look at the other side of the matter, I've given you some verses there about praise and the importance of it, but if we think about it on the other side, the Lord looked upon it as a great sin not to return thanks to him. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 43 for a moment and notice what it tells you there. Isaiah 43, and if we go down the chapter a little bit, verse 24 is the particular verse. Even if we back up to verse 22, you'll find there that it tells you that Israel has wearied the Lord. They've been weary of the Lord, and then we find that the Lord is weary of them. But it tells us, verse 24, as I say, is the particular verse. It says, "Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." The Lord was weary of them. And one of the things he said is, you've brought no thank offerings to the house of God. There's been no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. No thank offerings brought to the Lord. And the Lord had taken notice of it, that this had not been done, and he rebukes them for doing so. Because when we don't thank the Lord, we don't acknowledge our dependence upon him for everything. And when we do praise him and give him that praise that is due to his holy name, we are in essence acknowledging our dependence upon him. So there's more than just the actual offering of praise, whatever the words might be at a particular time, with whatever hymn or psalm we might sing. But it's the very fact that we're doing that in principle is in itself an acknowledgement of the truth. We're dependent upon the Lord for everything. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, not just some of them or most of them, every one of them is traceable back to the Lord ultimately in some way or another. And when we come to give praise, then underpinning that, we are acknowledging it. I'm dependent upon the Lord for every good thing. And that's why we want to give him praise. And then in return, we're reminded that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. When he bestows good things, if every good thing does indeed come from the Lord, well then we're told that the Lord will not withhold from you or me any good thing. He will give to us what is for our good. What he thinks is for our good, not what we think. And sometimes that is different. Our thoughts can be different to the Lord's thoughts. But as we know, the Lord tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. And there are times what we think is good, the Lord might not necessarily think that to be the case. But the Lord knows what is for our good, and he is the one who bestows us. So the Lord is grieved if there is unthankfulness in our heart. So there must certainly then be praise. We must keep in mind these exhortations. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And may the Lord help us to do that regularly. That's an important part of prayer as well. Not just our praise, but it's an important part of prayer to give thanks to the Lord. There's a very easy way to remember what your prayer should consist of. There's four things. If you take the term acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Well, if you just take the word Acts and use the four letters, A-C-T-S, it'll remind you of just the four simple elements that Scripture says our prayers ought to consist of. First of all, adoration. Our prayers must consist of adoration. Secondly, they must consist of confession. Confession of our sins and the seeking of forgiveness. Thirdly, they must consist of thanksgiving. And then lastly, they consist of supplications. We are to pray for something. Prayer is not always about asking. It is an important part of it, vital part of it. The prayer is this great facility God has given his people to come and supplicate the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're certainly to supplicate, but we're also to adore the Lord in prayer. We're also to confess our sins and seek forgiveness in prayer. We're also to give thanks in prayer. Then also make supplication. So the giving of thanks is a very important matter, even in our praise and also then in our praying as well. It ought to be something that is ever to the fore. Secondly, I want you to consider that unthankfulness is to be an increasing mark of the times that lead up to the coming of the Lord. We know something of what the Bible says about the spirit of the age and how that will develop and increase more and more in godliness as the time approaches of the Lord's coming again. And one of the marks of the end time age is given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So there's a list given of what are going to be some of the sins of the age as the Saviour's return comes nearer and nearer. And one of them is unthankfulness. That spirit, I think, is abroad generally in society. That and all those others as well. But when we just think about this particular one tonight, that spirit's abroad today, an unthankful spirit. But if that's the mark of the end-time age, and it is the mark of an ungodly world, then surely it ought to be the very last thing that ought to be the mark of God's people. Here's something we ought to steer away from. If this is going to be the mark of ungodliness, well then, we don't want it to be about us. We want to get away from that as much as possible. So, the need to give thanks and to give praise to the Lord in acknowledgement of all his mercies is something that ought ever to be to the fore of our mind. And as I've mentioned, here's three psalms, one after another, where this is found at the very commencement of it. And they're lengthy psalms, among the longer psalms, apart from Psalm 119, that is, but they're lengthy psalms. There's much to give thanks for. They're not little short psalms, where the psalmist can only think of a few things to mention in each psalm, and then he has to move on. He goes on at some length here in these psalms. And each one of them has a different theme. It's not our purpose tonight to pursue this in any great detail, but I certainly would encourage you just to read through these psalms and note the way that he sets them out. Pick up a commentary, Matthew Henry or Spurgeon, his Treasury of David, that wonderful commentary on the Psalms that's available, that he quotes so many others. And Spurgeon went to great length searching out quotes and what others had to say on the various Psalms. And it is indeed a Treasury of David, as well named. But even read through some of those commentaries on these Psalms and take note of what is said about the giving of thanks. And may the Lord help us ever to do so. I want to finish off with this point. We have much to give thanks for. We have much to give thanks for. If I can quickly highlight some areas. Temporal and material blessings. Can we not give thanks to the Lord for those? Do you remember, if you've been brought up on the Shorter Catechism, and those questions that come at the end of the Shorter Catechism on the Lord's Prayer. And there's that, is it 104? I think, my memory serves me right, that deals with that petition, give us our daily bread. And in that catechism, we are taught that in that petition of the Lord's Prayer, we're asking, and I quote, that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. That's what we're praying for when we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. We're praying that of God's free gift, he may give you and I a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. Well, if that is what he does he not deserve then to be thanked? If we come and pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, as we're taught in that pattern prayer to do so, well then, when he gives us our daily bread, ought we not to return thanks to him? And for all the temporal and material blessings that he bestows upon us. That's where the idea of giving thanks before our meals has come from. And we ought to give thanks before our meals, whether we're on our own or with others, whether we're out in a restaurant or whatever. Don't be ashamed of giving thanks to the Lord for what he's provided for us. Own the Lord and acknowledge his goodness to us and testify even to others around us that we acknowledge the Lord as the giver of all of these temporal things that he bestows upon us. What about physical blessings? Can we not give thanks to the Lord for whatever measure of health and strength we have and soundness of mind and body, that we're in the land of the living? And particularly in these times when that has been brought home to us more than ever with COVID and other illnesses, the Lord has kept us, preserved us. We have not kept ourselves even physically. It's not in our power to do so. We acknowledge that spiritually, that it is the Lord who keeps us, but the Lord does the keeping physically too. Well, that doesn't mean that we give up using the means and that somehow we're careless and this idea, well, sure, the Lord will look after you, don't have to worry about any of these precautions. That's a silly argument. That's a denying of means. And we use means in every area of life, and certainly in the things of God, even spiritually. We're not going to be kept if we don't feed our souls upon the Word of God and we don't spend time with the Lord. We're not going to keep our souls. Yes, the Lord may say in his Word, oh, I will keep you, spiritually speaking, but if we don't read our Bibles and spend time with the Lord and feed our souls and strengthen ourselves, we're not going to be kept. The promise is conditional on you and I employing the means. God is a God of means. There are some times when the Lord steps outside of the use of means and he intervenes directly into the world's affairs. We call it miracles. But miracles are rare. They do happen, but they're rare. They're rare in Bible history. When you start at the beginning and work your way through miracles around the time of Moses, then you have to come forward to Joshua's day and then on forward to Elijah's day and to Elisha's day. And then on forward to the Savior's time. Miracles are not the norm. The norm is that God employs means and he gives us the means to use to bring about certain ends. And the Lord requires you and I to use the means that he has ordained to bring something about. If we're going to be in physical health, well, there's certain things you have to do. You might have to eat proper food, need some exercise. There are certain things that you have to do in order to have good health. And if we neglect the means, well, there's no surprise then that there's the consequences that follow if we don't follow the means. And that's a principle that goes right across the board in our lives. There's nowhere that the Christian will say, well, now I don't have to employ the means. The Lord's going to do this for me anyway. That's next to fatalism. The Lord requires us to use the means. And there are certain things that he looks upon us to do. He has given us a rational mind. Now, you can trust in the sovereignty of God, but that doesn't mean you're going to go out onto the road and walk out in front of a car and say, oh, I trust the sovereignty of God. That's just foolish, as we know. Obviously foolish. Well, we believe in means. Yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God, but we also believe in the means that God has given us a rational mind to understand certain things and to know there's certain things you don't do. Well, we can apply that in every other area of life as well. We must employ the means. And when we employ the means, we look to the Lord then to bless the means. It's like the preaching. The preaching is the means that God has ordained. And we look to the Lord to bless the means. We disseminate his word. We evangelize. We take the gospel out and tell others about it and seek to bring the gospel to others in whatever way we do. That has been curtailed in COVID times, but normal circumstances. We believe in the means. We're going to think a little bit about that on Sunday evening in William Carey. Better not preach
I was doing some preparation on that today, so better not give you the sermon the night, which you'll hear on Sunday. But it's important that we use the means. But even having used the means, we still need the Lord's blessing upon them. And when he blesses the means, then we need to give him thanks. And if it's the measure of health and strength that we have, then we need to return thanks unto the Lord. What about spiritual blessings as we conclude? Aren't we reminded of that in Ephesians chapter 1? That we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. The Lord has not left out anything, Christian. Everything to do our souls good is found in Jesus Christ. You could not want anything more. I could not want anything more. Everything that is needed to satisfy our soul and to meet our spiritual need is in Christ Jesus. There is a fullness that is in Christ that you and I can never exhaust. Never exhaust. It doesn't matter how often we come and draw from those resources, how long we may spend drawing from those resources, we will never exhaust them. Christ is greater than our need. He is greater than our need. He will satisfy the soul to the full. And the more we hunger and thirst after the Lord, the more we'll be satisfied. And the more we hunger again, the more we'll be satisfied. The Lord will give us a fullness. All spiritual blessings are in him. And if that is so, well then, surely there's occasion then to say, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we can count our many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise us what the Lord has done. And may we even count our blessings tonight and give thanks unto the Lord. There's that little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Words like that should often be upon our lips, whether it's that chorus or some other words similar to that, but we should often thank the Lord for all that he has done for us. And even tonight, as we come to prayer, we can certainly thank the Lord for all that he has done, for saving our souls. If I go back to where I started with that Samaritan who returned to give thanks to the Lord, and I said, well, the Bible says he was a stranger. Well, we were strangers and the Lord took us in. And he has made us the sons and the daughters of God, the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. We were strangers and he took us in. And should we not then give thanks unto the Lord?